turn to Matthew 17 for just a couple thoughts for the start of our service tonight. Praise the Lord. I think I saw Jonathan over here. Is that right, Jonathan? With your sister? That's great. Sirpa's son, Jonathan, is here visiting from Florida, maybe? From Florida. Welcome. Welcome. Matthew 17. This is the Mount of Transfiguration, and these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were invited to this high mountain with Christ, and he was transfigured before them in verse 2, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Is that right? Matthew 17, verse 2. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. This is extraordinary piece of scripture that to accept this and believe this in your heart, it's absolutely extraordinary. A normal human being, a man with flesh and blood, you ate with him, you've been with him, you watched him, and now on the mountain he's changed. He's transformed. Tonight I want to talk about going to heaven for a few minutes. Just going to heaven, straight up going to heaven. Okay? Isn't that good? Hey, come on. Wednesday night, come on. All right, we're going to heaven. Yeah, are you going? Are you going to heaven? Are you made in the image of God? Are you made to have eternal life? Did he promise that before the foundation of the world, Titus 1, 2? Yes, like we are made to be like angels. That's in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus is like clear, very clear. Now he's giving them a revelation, something that is absolutely extraordinary. He is transformed before their eyes. And now we see where we are going, what is going on. Now we see the glorified Christ. We see him as who he is. And man is promised this eternal life. We know that in the scripture. So that's the first point I want you to see here. There appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him in verse 3. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He's doing the best he can in an extraordinary situation. And he just says something that's like below the nature of what is happening. You know how that is? I have a funny story about it. Some circumstances are extraordinary and very special, and what you say in that moment is sometimes awkward. An example of that would be two people getting married. Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Yes, I do. And then she leans in and says, thank you. Like, thank you. I mean, I'm taking you to be my wife. Like, thank you is low, lower than what is happening. We are speechless. We have seen something extraordinary. Lord, it's good for us to be here. And let's make a memorial. Let's freeze the moment and memorial for what is happening. And God in heaven answers him. That's amazing. Look at chapter 17, verse 4. And then answered Peter, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. How about that plan? How about that? Come on. What about that? Again, like, it's hard. It's hard to see. I think church is like that, to be honest. when you go home and you try to explain it, or like sometimes we go to a conference and we come home and my wife asks me, how was it? And I just cannot, I don't have the words. And that can happen for you in your spiritual life. And you are carrying in you something very precious and it's beyond words. So there's a Hebrew word for it. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Go to the next verse. It says, while he had spake, this is how God answers Peter. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son. Okay, you got that? This is my son. This is my son. You know, like, you're like, you can't talk like Peter. I know your heart, I know your intentions, I know, but this is something huge. I am pleased in him. Hear him. That's all. Hear him. Let's read it. It says, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. In our Christian faith, we can get stuck in concepts and ideas, and they are beneath the glory or the honor or the reality of what we are part of. We can get stuck in the language. We can get stuck in the behaviors. We can get stuck in our styles. We can get stuck in our routine. But the point of our message tonight is that we are part of something extraordinary, and it's in each one of us. And when we hear God, it kind of brings it out. When you hear him, you're not stuck in the frozen memorial, kind of like, it's good for us to be here. But you are now hearing him, and you are following him, and it's always fluid. It's not static. It's always moving. It's always growing. It's always having an influence. It's always purifying. It's always enlightening. It's always helping us make it all the way, and that's where we're going. Turn to a few more of these. Luke with blind. Luke 18 and 35. It came to pass that it was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. So was he a poor man? Yeah, he was begging. Was he blind? Yes. Was he, what kind of life was he living? Of course. What do we know about that? And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. That's all they said to him. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, maybe we have heard this line many times. I've said it many times. But if we could catch it, that this man had a spiritual understanding, extraordinary understanding, exceptional. Jesus of Nazareth is genealogically related to David. He is the Messiah that will sit on David's throne. And who am I? I'm a nobody, but I know this. I got it. I am sure of it. I know this. How did he learn it? We don't know. But my point is that you and I are kind of like the minority. We are kind of people that are grasping things that are, excuse me, spiritual. and powerful and unique and very special. That's beautiful. And then be quiet, right? Verse 39, they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Quiet. But he cried out much more. See, he has something like you and I have. You can't stop it. Yeah, we are a minority. We may be blind and beggars, but we have a spiritual reality in our hearts. And one of the aspects of that is that we have eternal life, that we're actually going to go to heaven, that our bodies will also be transformed, that it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we'll be like him. We are passing through. We are pilgrims and strangers. Now, on a cold Wednesday night, it's great to hear what God has to say to our hearts, because we are like this. We are people that are studying it, thinking about it, and grasping it, because, to be honest, many of our sisters and brothers are passing on. And for some of us in this generation, we know that that will be happening to us sometime pretty, you know. You can fill in that word, okay? It'll be happening. And where do we go? Where do we go? Yeah, let's now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is my... When I woke up this morning, I'm laying in bed. Pastor Mike, good to see you. We're praying for Nick and Nupu and your family. God bless you. We're with you. I'm laying in bed, and I'm just thinking of this 1 Corinthians 15 text. Guys, that's how it works with you in your life. You are learning, and God will be speaking the word to you. Hear ye him. And if we hear him, we will be like blind Bartimaeus, that we don't have power, we don't have money, we don't have a reputation, we are a beggar, we are blind, but somehow we are seeing that this life is short. It is valuable, but it's also only for a time. Our suffering is only for a season, a moment. It's only relative to eternity. It is only a flash. It's a short time. Thank you, Lord. We've got 70 years and, you know, what? Thank you. Thank you. It sometimes seems long. And sometimes it seems really short. But we have this blessed hope. Look at this text with me. And I'll tell you what, I'll just leave you with this. Jesse will do the announcements and the offering, but I'll say this. Could you for a moment think about, I don't believe in heaven, going to heaven. I do not believe in the resurrection. I do not believe in what the Bible is saying. I do not believe there's anything after this life. I do not believe. You know those thoughts. Guys, you have a sin nature, and you have grew up that way, maybe. You know those thoughts. Well, that's how the Corinthians were thinking. There is no resurrection. So this chapter 15 is written to address that unbelief. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. That there are believers that have not the knowledge of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, and I'll sit down. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And maybe I'll write that down. Just want you to remember it. Some have not the knowledge of God. And he said, I speak this to your shame. Kind of like shame on you. You should know better. You're born again Christians. You should be like that blind Bartimaeus guy crying out in the crowd. And they say, shh, be quiet. No, son of David, Jesus, thou son of David. It's like, whoa. That is what you and I have, this capacity for persuasion, capacity for faith, capacity to be on the mountaintop, so to speak, and really believe it. We can't even believe our eyes that this is Christ, and he was transformed before my eyes. And then in time we were walking down the mountain and he says, don't tell anybody what you saw. Don't tell anybody about this until after I'm raised from the dead. Then you can tell them. But don't tell them before. It's for you. You saw it? You believe it? Are you made to be buried like a dog or to be glorified and raised up like an angel? Are you made to just go into the ash? Or are you made to be in the presence of Almighty God forever? In the presence of Almighty God. Are we made to be in the presence of Almighty God? Yes. So, that's the beginning of our message tonight. Okay. All right, would you turn... Are you ready to go? Here we go. Ready? Okay. Let's put up Genesis 25, verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age and full of years and was gathered to his people. Where did he go? Yeah, he went to heaven, right? And he was gathered to his people. And his son died. When Isaac died, it says the same thing. He put his feet up in the bed, and he went to be with his people. Abraham said, it says that about Abraham, Isaac. And then when Jacob died, it says the same thing, that he went to be with his people. Now turn to Luke 21 and... I'm sorry, Luke chapter 20, and I'm abbreviating it, cutting it short. Many of you like study it and learn it more. I'm not preaching like that right now. I just want to get to what I want to say. This is chapter 20. And this is about the Sadducees that were trying to stump Jesus by asking a question, a theoretical, hypothetical question about a woman who had seven husbands, all relatives, you know, in Jewish law, that the relative would take her under his roof and marry her, and then he died, and then his relative again, and then he died, and she had seven. So they said to Jesus, hey, we got a tough question for you. Whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? Ha, 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 ha. You know, it's really a problem. I thought of a similar thing for our day today. If you have a liver transplant and you're raptured and the liver belonged to an unbeliever, and will there be a liver on the sidewalk? You know, ha, 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 ha. What is that? That's like a stupid question, in my opinion. I made it up, though, right? These questions are not a problem to Jesus. So this is how he answers, and he gives us insight using a silly question. And he's basically saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about. And let's read the answer, verse 34. Jesus answered, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. He's talking about them being there. There won't be that marriage. And like, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? There won't be a marriage in heaven. They will not be marrying in heaven. There will not be the I believe I'll be with my wife forever because we are married. Maybe some of you don't like that idea, but you'll be perfected. You'll be perfected, okay? So, all right, so there won't be that there. What will it be like there? That's what, and I know it is, by the way, Jesse's message just now for the offering was great. All right, so what does he say? They cannot die anymore, verse 36. They are equal unto the angels. And that's why you hear me say that we are like the angels. We are equal with the angels. Actually, Hebrews says we are above them, though now for a season we are below them in the order of our perspective design and our rights as people. We are animal and angel. And the animal in us is very obvious to us because of the fall. But because of grace and the Spirit, there is that angelic aspect or spiritual, or that you comprehend the eternal. You actually long for a perfect world. You actually are looking for righteousness. You actually believe in God and that God did not make us to be destroyed. Can the dust praise me? He didn't make us to be the dust. He made us to be more as angels. And this is what it says. Read it with me. It says, chapter 20, verse 36. They are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, did you hear what I said? Abraham died and went to be with his people. Isaac died, went to be with God. The Jacob died and went. And Jesus is saying, have you read that? Do you know that he's not the God of the dead? He is the God of the living. Doesn't he say that? Verse 38. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Now let's go to the last part. It's 1 Corinthians 15. And again, I ask you to think about being an unbeliever. So let's read about it. If I don't believe in the resurrection, it's chapter 15, verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Let's all go home if he's not risen. Let's get rid of our Bible if he's not risen. Let's get rid of our desire for our God in heaven, because if he's not risen, it's all in vain. It means nothing. The resurrection of Christ means everything to us. But they're Christian. These Corinthians are very, very immature. They are sarkinos, we heard in class the other night. They are immature, fleshly believers that know so little. You have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, he said. Come on, blind Bartimaeus knew more. Come on, he is raised. Come on, Peter, James, and John saw it on the mountain, who he is, and that he is here with us, and he has made us like himself. Isn't that good? Okay, go to verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. That he's saying it hypothetically, like if he wasn't raised up, then we're lying about it. If so be that the dead rise not, then we're actually misleading people. We're actually, you know, false teachers and false witnesses, and it's like if Christ is not raised, so he has six arguments here that if it's not true, verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. That's another big one. Not only are we false witnesses and that our preaching is vain and our faith is vain, but also we are still in our sins. Verse 18, then they also which fall asleep in Christ are perished. That means my mom, grandfathers, other relatives, maybe sister, brother, they're gone. They perished. It's over. They're buried in cemetery. You never see them again. It's over. It's gone. If there is no resurrection. So we're being brought to a place where, unfortunately, the modern world is there. And we are able to say that they themselves say, I wish I had the faith you have. I wish I had what you have, because it's lonely. It's hard. It's not a good message. There is no resurrection. It isn't comforting at all. The last one here is verse 19. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, but he's not resurrected, then we're all of all men most miserable. We have hope in a Christ who's not raised from the dead. It's like hope in a Muhammad or a Buddha or Plato or Socrates or some other human being that's a leader of a movement, and we are just part of something like that. There is no message. There is no salvation. There is no heaven. There is no answer for the human race. So now go to what he says about it. He goes, some have not the knowledge of God, but some will say, verse 35, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it die. And that which you sow, thou sow not that body that shall be, but rather grain or a seed. It might be wheat or it might be some other grain. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him, to every seed his own body. When we are buried, it doesn't look like we're going to be raised from the dead, does it? But actually, look again. Maybe. Okay. You don't know. You throw a seed in the ground, what's coming up, right? You don't know, but it's a different body. It's a green bush. But it's a tomato plant. A tomato plant, but it's a green bush. And the little seed was a disc-shaped, small, little tomato seed. And it's sown in that body, but it's raised in another body. And thou fool, don't you know that what we are bearing in the ground, we have not yet seen what we will be. But we will be extraordinarily, exceptionally, we will be changed. We will have a glorified body. Philippians 3:21, and a mind and a spirit and a status that is exceptional. Let's look at two of them and we will finish. It's Revelation chapter 4. And we have the rapture happening before the tribulation period. In our sequence here, we are saints that are in heaven, and we are worshiping in chapters 4 and 5. And we sing a new song, chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song. Now I'm going to digress a little bit. I wonder what heaven is like. Do we ever have like touches of it on the earth? Have you ever been with three or four or five people and it just is, you're sitting, you're together, and it's amazing. You are laughing, you are talking, you are connected, and you have fellowship. And it's amazing. Have you ever had a time where you say, I wish I could freeze this moment. This is so awesome. The love we have, the joy we have, the fellowship we have. Riding in a car, in a church service, in a Bible school class, on an outreach coming back, and we're maybe eating something, talking, laughing, interacting. We have so much joy and peace in our hearts. Well, Jesus said, we will sit at a table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we die, we will go to be with our people, and we'll be at a table, and it'll be real, and it'll be connection, and joy, and peace, and love, and righteousness. Sometimes, like, you're walking through the woods, and maybe there's a very grassy place, and you just come over the crest of a hill, and there's a friend there. And you meet them, and you rejoice in it. My friend. My friend. We quietly are talking and walking along the way. What is heaven like? We know there are mountains. We know there is a city. We know that it's something like this world because God made this world. And he made us for a more. He made us to live in a world without sin, without tears, without pain, in righteousness and peace and joy. I wonder in heaven if we'll ever be able to meet the people that we kind of think of wanting to meet. I'm sure relatives. But I'm also thinking about, like, maybe important people that, like the Apostle Paul, Polycarp, the saints, Augustine, men of God. Sometimes just thinking about men and women of God and what treasures they have, what their minds are like, how they talk, who they are. And to think that it's like in a state where the Lord is saying, we are equal with the angels. We are the children of God. We've not been made to be cursed. We are made to be blessed. And Jesus Christ brought that blessing. And it says here in Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book, to open the seals there. This is at the center of the heaven is Christ. What he did for us, the price he paid, how it worked, how it's not just like words on a page, it's a reality. We are in the presence of a holy, almighty God, and we shouldn't actually be there. But we're there by grace. We are in the presence of almighty God in a perfect world. And they sang. What did they sing? You have been slain. You redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I don't know. Meditate on it. Think about it. I always think about a little boy who wants to be a policeman, you know, and he gets his parents give him a little outfit, the little police thing, and he's got a gun and everything, you know. How we are made. Like, for that, like, I want to be a football player. You're 7 years old and you get this stuff and you are made for that. You are, in other words, you are made to be honored. You are made to be loved. You are made to be recognized. You are made, but our ego, we trip over that whole thing. We just say, no, we shouldn't desire anything. No. Heaven is this world. The best of it on steroids. The best conversation on steroids. No, the world we are going to is a much better one. And we're coming back here. That's for sure one day. But then it's only a thousand years and it will go by fast. I think it's like one day with God. A thousand years is as one day. And then the eternal age. Wow. There's one more before we close here. It's Revelation 7. And this is important because tribulation period is happening on the earth. And there is 144,000 people chosen by God. They are sealed. An angel cries out from verse 2. There's silence and also no wind blowing. And I saw an angel from the east having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels who was given to hurt the earth. To hurt the earth and the sea, but don't do it. Don't hurt the earth and the sea yet. Don't do it, verse 3. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. What is this? 12 tribes, 12,000 people chosen in their foreheads. They are servants of God. They are called. They are very special people given a particular calling in a very difficult time in history. If you know the eschatology, it goes like this. Here's the tribulation period starts halfway through. It was a 3.5-year period. And there is this work by God. I want to save people. I want to save people in tribulation period. I want to save people all around the world. I want to save people in the Philippines and Laos and India and China. I want to save people all over the world. I am not done. It's a wicked, evil time, and the Antichrist is coming into the history of it and making a contract with Israel and eventually taking over the whole world. But before he does that, I'm going to seal these 144,000 people with a divine calling. I will be with them. I will anoint them. They will be empowered. They will have an amazing power. They'll make Billy Graham look like a Sunday school teacher. They will be powerful people. I would anticipate that from God. Using Jewish people to be anointed heavily and very powerful and influential people because we read what happened. It says, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. What do you mean? Nobody could number. It was so big. Well, today there's 8.7 billion people that we know of on the earth. Well, in the tribulation people, how many people will be in this category? Because it says it's a category. Look at it. Verse. They will be from all nations, all kindreds, all people, and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts. See, they're not church people. They are the tribulation saints. They are the people that got saved during the tribulation. And how do we know that? Because they are worshiping in heaven. They have died for their faith on the earth. There is a great harvest in the tribulation period. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders that represents the church, one of the elders said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robe, and whence came they? He answered, saying unto me, what are they? And I said to him, sir, you know. Verse 14. Sir, you know. You see that? There's a category. You know, there's a category of people in heaven. I like that idea. When you go in the grocery store, there are categories in the grocery store. There's the vegetables over there. There's the cereals. There's the milk and the yogurts and the cheese and so on. There are categories. And in heaven, it may be there are these categories. And John is saying, who are these people? Because you already had the church in Revelation 5, but now you've got another category. And he says, who are these? Yeah? And the elder said, verse. He said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? In verse 13. And I said, John said, sir, you know. Like, you know who they are. I mean, you are here in heaven. You know I'm visiting. John the Apostle is saying, you know who they are. Who are they? And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They will hunger no more. It implies that they did hunger on the earth. They will not be thirsty anymore. It implies that that's what they're coming out of, great tribulation, where perhaps they didn't have food, they didn't have water, but in their heart they were wanting a message. And there were 144,000 Jewish evangelists around the world preaching boldly. And people out of every nation and tribe and tongue were listening, and some were believing, and they died and they went to heaven, and they are there. The church is worshiping in chapter 5 out of the rapture, and then the tribulation saints are worshiping in chapter 7. What I'm trying to say tonight is that you and I have a blessed hope, and that we are embracing something that gives us great comfort and should speak to your heart quietly through your life. And talk about it in your family. We're going to heaven. Have it as a source of comfort in your life and understand it and embrace it and believe it. If it wasn't so, then we have those six things mentioned. But then you might say, well, I don't get it. How can a dead body go? Where do they go? It's like, that's all right. Calm down. Calm down. It's true. It's written. Christ was transfigured and showed those men. Blind Bartimaeus knew something. It didn't look much, but he had something. And so do you. And we carry it with us. We talk about it, we enjoy it, and we anticipate it. We're going to go. Don't worry about it. We're going to go. It's good. We're going to pass in. We're going to leave our body, be absent from our body and present with the Lord. It's sure. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. You're here tonight and you have questions, it's all right. You got your human being, God knows. But don't live in your unbelief. Learn to grow in your faith. Don't live in discouragement. Be stirred up in your faith. Maybe we all can doubt. It's not a problem doubting if we believe not, God abides faithful to us. But read the word and let it speak to your heart like it did blind Bartimaeus. And your eyes will be open just like his were when Jesus stopped dead in his tracks and said, get that guy. That guy's got my heart. That guy knows what's going on. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, that I could see. And Jesus said, you got it. So we want that for you tonight. You say to God in your heart, I want it. I want my faith to be built up. I want to grow in my faith. And most importantly, I want Jesus Christ in my life. As you say to him in simple faith, Jesus, come into my life tonight. I ask. In Christ's name, amen.